Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. Today we are coming to the letter of the Apostle Paul to Philemon, which would be the last of the series, The Writings of Paul, in which we'll go on to the general epistles after this, starting with the book of Hebrews. Book of Philemon, small letter. And the title of today's lesson is simply Slavery. And while you're turning to this lesson found in your Bibles, let me to say that our memory verse is found in verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. How to have an effectual ministry. Okay, slavery is the topic. Okay, let's see. Bear with me. This may be a little bit longer than normal. So we'll go ahead and get started. If you have questions or comments, please hold off until the end of the lesson. We'll cover questions and hopefully have answers. So if everybody's at the letter of Paul to Philemon, we will get started. Okay. Slavery was quite common in most of the nations of the world at the time of the writing of this letter of Paul to Philemon. Sadly, it is estimated by the Anti-Slavery International Organization, which was originally started by Wilberforce and is still in operation, that there are more slaves today, according to Anti-Slavery International, there are more slaves today than at any other time in history. There are more slaves today than ever before. They estimate that there are over 45 million slaves in the world today, but keep in mind that it is rather difficult to accurately count these people since slavery is a modern hidden sin that is well disguised. Most appear to exist in Muslim and communist countries. The Muslim book called the Quran actually permits slavery, whereas, in contrast, the New Testament was written to free men of the bonds of slavery, especially the bonds of slavery of sin, and to give new life and hope to any convert. And this is seen in the words of Christ. Quote, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's found in John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36. A Muslim man with multiple wives really only has multiple slaves or concubines, all of which are owned as property, not as equals. Islam is not conducive to freedom. It is a well-known fact that there are many slave labor camps in communist China that use millions of slaves for their free labor. It is a sad thing to know that Western capitalist nations that outwardly condemn slavery knowingly buy products, sign contracts, at a cheap price from Chinese manufacturers that use slave labor, and they do this for greater profit margins, for the sin of greed, in other words. A slave, let us just define, a slave is anyone who is put in bondage against their will or exploited. People are not usually bought and sold, as on an auctioning block, but nor are they in physical chains, always, at least not in modern slavery, because chains are not necessary when there is pressure applied in some way, which would include threats of deportation or threats of prison, threats against family members, financial threats, or social ruin. Many are merely controlled as slaves by drug addiction in big city crime areas. Then there is slavery to indebtedness. Some are brought into slavery almost entirely because of indebtedness, and that has historically been a very large factor. The one that a person is in debt to, can become a cruel master given the right opportunity. So manage your finances so you don't get into debt. One must also realize the real reason behind the supposed need for migrant workers. One must realize the real reason behind migrant workers. These people are imported only to be taken advantage of in some way by the rich for commercial gain. This is part of what is termed human trafficking. Even in the United States, there is what could be considered legal slave labor found in the prison system, which is made up of prisoners who must, no choice, you go into solitary confinement if you don't, they must work for either nothing or very little. Also, let it be realized that slavery does not restrict itself to just one race of people, but rather all races are involved. In the United States, for instance, there were more blacks who owned slaves. There were more blacks who owned slaves than whites before the Civil War. In Africa, back then, slave traders were black people who sold slaves out of their own villages or enemy tribes. People were sold into slavery often from being a prisoner captured in tribal warfare. The American Indians don't have a clean slate either. The American Indians made slaves out of the captured in warfare. And that often involved women and children. The Jews used Gentiles as slaves in ancient Israel. Slavery is not condemned in the Jewish Talmud. Capital T-A-L-M-U-D. For those who are not familiar with it. Here we quote noted historian Philip Schaff. Capital S-C-H-A-F-F, in his History of the Christian Church, Volume 2, Section 14, entitled The Talmud, pages 38 and 39 in our edition. Quote, the Talmud, which means doctrine, of which the first part, that would be the Mishnah, M-I-S-H-N-A, which means repetition, was composed toward the end of the 2nd century, and the second part, the Gemara, G-E-M-A-R-A, which means completion, was finished in the 4th century, all of which well represent the Judaism of its day, which was stiff, traditional, stagnant, and anti-Christian. Still quoting Scaff here, the Babylonian Talmud, which dates, the writing dates are 430 through 521 AD, is four times larger and a still more distinct expression of rabbinicism, which is still used today, and was designed, the Babylonian Talmud, was designed to deter Jews from going over to the Christian faith. Quote, it is the Old Testament misinterpreted and turned against the New. End quote. Quote, it is a rabbinical Bible without inspiration, without the Messiah, and without hope. End quote. That is a quotation from the standard text of the history of the Christian Church. We have quoted all this so as to warn any wandering Christian who may venture over into Judaism. Don't wander over there. Now, after the final destruction of Jerusalem from a war of rebellion in the mid-2nd century, that would be the years 132 to 135 AD, under the leadership of a false messiah named Bar, B-A-R, dash, Cosibia, capital C-O-S-I-B-A, which literally means son of falsehood, rich Jewish men sold fellow Jews into slavery as good gestures to Rome to build such things as the Colosseum. Now, I've heard in my day, Jews complain that it was Jewish slaves that built the Colosseum as well as other structures in Rome. And this is where they came from. Jerusalem was completely destroyed at that time, rebuilt and renamed Aelia, capital A-E-L-I-A, and the second part of that name is Capitolina, capital C-A-P-I-T-O-L-I-N-A. As we see in modern times, slavery does not have racial boundaries. As far as the question goes regarding reparations, which keeps coming up in the news quite often and is being batted around in various places throughout the country, including the House of Representatives, to whom would the reparations go to, since all races, as we've just seen, have had their hands in it? Then again, we need to consider, what about the families who fought and died to free the slaves? Should they not be rewarded also if monetary rewards of some type are being handed out? excuse me. These were heroes of freedom. Who is greater, the ones who fought and died for freedom or those freed? Then we must also consider the fact that a man is only responsible for his own sin, not the sin of others and not the sin of his ancestors. Question is, what kind of justice system tries to impose guilt and penalty on someone, a distinct and distant ancestor may have done a crime, some crime, over 150 years ago? American justice system has always fallen onto the fact that a man is responsible for his own crime, not someone else. Such a proposed system of justice would indeed make a mockery of justice and would instead institute injustice. In this lesson, we are going to briefly look at the historical background of slavery as it applies to Paul's letter. That is, if I can get through it, my throat is quite dry here. So, pardon me if I have to cough here occasionally, and I am covering my mouth here. First, let's take a look at the Old Testament laws concerning slavery. Laws concerning slavery can be found in the Book of the Covenant, which is our Exodus chapters 20 through 23, as well as Leviticus chapter 25 and Deuteronomy chapter 15. Of note, there are laws concerning slave trade, and this is found in Exodus chapter 21, verse 16, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 7, which forbid the kidnapping and selling of freeborn people into slavery. Let's just take a look at Exodus chapter 21. Excuse me. Here we go. And verse 16. Put my finger on it here. Quote, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." The penalty of such crimes was death, as we just read. Historically, those who were supposed to be Christian by confession had to ignore the law or turn a blind eye to what we just read. The motivation for this had to be the sin of coveting, which, in other words, it was dictated by greed and power. It was understood that a slave would serve only 6 years and be freed in the seventh in the Old Testament. There was a section there also concerning, you'll see, the year of Jubilee. Now, the legal release of slaves by their owners is called manumission. Let me spell that to you, because a lot of times my pronunciations aren't always all that great, in case you hadn't noticed. Okay, right. Spelled manumission. And this is legislated in Exodus chapter 21 verses 1 through 11. It's also in Leviticus 25 verses 39 through 55. And Deuteronomy chapter 15 verses 12 through 11. Please read that for your own edification. Emancipation is different. Emancipation is when a government frees slaves, as opposed to individuals by their own free will releasing a slave in what is called manumission. In the Roman Empire, slaves were usually treated as valued possessions, with the average price going at $40,000 per slave in modern dollars. Often the slave had better living conditions than a poor free man, since the slave usually lived in his master's house and was provided for, whereas a poor free man would be on his own, some of which, or most of which, quite often had to live in the street. For the most part, a slave was dressed as becoming or honoring his owner, and not disgraced in rags as often is depicted in modern stories and pictures. Later, Rome found it advantageous to release slaves on a regular basis, which usually was after 7 years of service, to make them into citizens. This was due to a declining citizenship and declining taxes. A slave didn't pay taxes and many times did not serve in the military, since he couldn't be trusted to run away. Now, citizenship had its privileges and could be purchased by outsiders or be earned by service in the military. A slave was different than a, quote, peon, P-E-O-N, quote. That is a real term for a poor person who is unimportant in the eyes of the world and is paid little for their services. In the modern world, slavery, there is no pride in ownership. The modern world of slavery has no pride in ownership. And slaves are cheap, and slaves are mistreated, and are worse off than peons, who may work cheaply, but are still free. Now, if you will read the short letter of the Apostle Paul to Philemon, who lived in Colossae, C-O-L-O-S-S-A-E, you're familiar with that city by the book of Colossians, you see a striking push by the apostle to have Onesimus, who apparently had stolen something from his master, Philemon, and then he ran away to Rome. He was to be graciously received as encouraged by the apostle Paul, not as a criminal slave deserving punishment, but as a converted brother of equal standing. Philemon was active as a co-worker with the Apostle Paul in the city of Colossae, having the church meeting in his own house, that is in Philemon's house. There is no record of a building of a church house for the exclusive use of Christian worshipers before the 3rd century. All this would imply that Philemon was fairly well off financially, having a large enough house to be a meeting place, and also by the fact that he had slaves as a possession, which usually meant wealth. Apfra, a name there you'll see, capital APPHIA, Apfra, our sister, in verse 2, is usually thought to be Philemon's wife. And another name, Archippus, capital ARCHIPPUS, is thought to be Philemon's son, who was perhaps involved in the military in some way, but was probably more likely to have been involved in spiritual battles going on in Colossae. Onesimus, along with Tychicus, capital TYCHICUS, were to deliver his letter, the letter of Paul, to Philemon. But the letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians were probably also part of their delivery route. So they carried those other letters with them. As far as time of the writing of this letter of Paul, all this was probably in the year of 62 AD. At this time, Paul described himself as Paul the Aged. In verse 9, in contrast to that, he was described as a young man at the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. According to the famed physician Hippocrates, an aged man, you know, Hippocratic oath, an aged man, or presbutus, P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-S, was in the age group of 49 years old to 56 years old. And anybody older than that was termed a geron, G-E-R-O-N, after that, after the age of 56. And from that, we get the term geriatrics. Geriatrics meaning the medical care for the elderly. So here we get an idea of how Paul, his age, what his age was. Now, the name Onesimus means prophet, so that he would or should be a helper to his owner's prophet. In other words, going by his name. Now, Paul has a play on words using this man's name in verse 11, which reads, keeping in mind his name means prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, not one who foresells the future. He is supposed to be profitable. In verse 11, quote, which in time past was to thee, that is Philemon, unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. That would be to the Apostle Paul, end quote. Which emphasized the fact that this runaway was changed by the gospel into a new man who would be an asset to both Philemon as well as the church, no longer as a slave, according to verse 16, but as a beloved brother. Verse 18, going on down the page. So there was a change in Onesimus' status and standing. Verse 18 has a long and strong dynamic doctrine laid out for us. We'll see this when Paul says, quote, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account, end quote. As in the only other place this is found, which is Romans 5:13, which there is translated imputed. This concept is beautifully illustrated by Christ. This concept of imputation is illustrated by Christ in his parable found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 36, where the Good Samaritan paid things in full, completely. Quote, illustrates that his salvation is complete. Quote, and went to him, this is the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, 30 to 36, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. End quote. Notice Paul has written this in his own handwriting, not using the usual dictation method, making this letter a legal document called a promissory note. Paying the debt of another man, that is gratis, G-R-A-T-I-S, is exactly what Christ did on the cross by paying the debt of sin we owed. He paid it in full, setting us free. Slavery is legally gone in the United States and much of the world today, but in reality it is very much an active thing in many people's lives who are addicted to sin, addicted to drugs, cigarettes, eating, greed, sex, a guilty conscience, to finances, or whatever chains the devil can attach. Christ came to set you free of all these things. But in order to be free, you must realize that he is the Lord of freedom. And once free, you must seek to stay free by staying away from sin. Sadly, in today's world, the political left has hijacked the consciences of civilizations, using imagined guilt of slave ownership found in the past to be a present tool of coercion, C-O-E-R-C-I-O-N, and manipulation, M-A-N-I-P-U-L-A-T-I-O-N, for power and wealth. Now, in Daniel chapter 3, we see the biblical principle that we are to follow. Please read Daniel chapter 3 if you're not familiar with that. We will therefore not bow the knee to any idol, physical or ideological, that the world, the government, our society, or a religion may set up, be it ever so popular. We don't succumb to threats. As we see in the words of Christ, the Good Samaritan calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We follow Christ and his principles. As for today's church, we are not subject to the masters of this world, nor of their thought police, but only answer to one Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and no other. Again, let me just say that if He sets you free, you are free indeed. Let's close with a word of prayer. So ends our lesson in the letter of Philemon. Gracious Father, we thank Thee for sending Thy Son to die on the cross, that we might be free, and that You lead us now in the paths of righteousness, which keep us free. Pray now for the listener. I know that I've probably failed pretty well in the delivery of this lesson, but we pray that Thy truth and Thy word will go forth and be used by the Holy Spirit, even though this messenger is somewhat lacking. We pray now that Thy church will be built up and strengthened, and that Thou will cause them to stand on Thy principles. We pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.